1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read God's Word in reverence to God's Word. Could you just stand, please, as I read these five verses? I would like you to be free from concern. That's 1 Corinthians 7:32. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a way, right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord. The Lord's blessings are already added to his word. May it be sanctified to our hearts. And our Father, O God, we give you thanks now for this moment, this opportunity, that we can assemble ourselves in this place of worship and praise and prayer and of the study of your word. And now as we come to the word, we ask that you would still our hearts and give us a spirit of expectancy so that we may close out everything else and focus on what you would say to us even now. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Pastor Chris was careful to send me the topic for today twice to make sure I didn't miss it. The ministry of the single believer. And I suppose he was careful to be sure, to make sure that I focus on that topic for the day. The ministry of the single believer. There is a growing interest in our day. To recognize the single believers in our churches. For the most part, the concern has been to meet the needs, to minister to the needs of the singles within the congregation. There, I have not found in my reading on this matter where there is much interest in the ministry of the single believer. It is more an emphasis on meeting needs. The unmarried, the single believer, has constituted much, and in many churches, most of the membership in many churches. Many of our members are often single young people. And when we talk very often of singles, we usually confine our thinking to the under 25 unmarried crowd, which is very unfortunate, because we have the widowed singles within our congregation. We have the divorced singles within our congregations. We have the single parent in our congregations. And so my view of this topic is not only in reference to the under 25 unmarried, but in terms of all those who are unmarried and single here today. I want to be able to communicate, to speak to all of you, and include in it as well, here and there, a word to the married. So we are going to be all-encompassing, but particularly focusing on singles. Our text chapter would have us know that the issues we are facing today regarding family, marriage, families, individuals, are not new. The early church had the same issues to deal with. As a matter of fact, in many ways, the early churches had probably more single married people who were put away from their husbands or wives or family because they trusted Christ as Savior, because they became Christians. And one of the purposes of this chapter, the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 7, is to clarify many of those issues that the whole membership of the church were dealing with. And so they were dealing with divorce, they were dealing with separation, they were dealing with virgins, they were dealing with widowed, they were dealing with all these groups of singles. The verses we are going to be looking at, they show that the single or the unmarried believer is able to live a life of ministry, pleasing to God through undivided devotion and a life of holiness. Let me repeat that. The focus of my message to you today is that the single or unmarried believer is able to live a God-pleasing life through undivided devotion and a life of holiness. So I draw your attention to the text with me this morning. Number one, the focus of the single believer's ministry should be to please the Lord. Verse 32, an unmarried man is concerned with the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. The King James Version reads, "He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." But it goes on to say that the married is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he may please his mate. The focus of every believer in ministry should be to please the Lord. That's why we should do ministry, to honor God in what we do, whether you be single or married. The point, the Apostle Paul, who is believed to not to have been married, is making is that the extent of the freedom to minister depends on whether or not you are married. The freedom to do, to go, depends on whether or not you are married. Regardless whether or not one is married, the focus is still the same. That is pleasing the Lord. Now, some folks, in trying to establish order of importance or priorities in serving the Lord, they have come up with the idea that we should make God number one, the church number two, the family number three, etc., etc. And I say to you, the text nor the Bible does not support that order of priority. I hate to disappoint you. You see, God is nobody's number one. And that's the first thing we should understand. God is nobody's number one. God is our life, our everything. Acts 17:28, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Does that sound like number one to you? It's like saying, my heart is number one. It is not number one. It is the means by which I exist. God is everything. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I exist because of him. He is my everything. He is my life." Ephesians 3:12, "In him and through faith in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence." So the idea that we have set up that God is number one and marriage is number two, our text denies that. Because you see, whether or not you're married or not, God is not number one or number two. God is the center of our worship and our ministry. So whether or not you're married or you're single, the whole purpose, as a matter of fact, the writer to the Ecclesiastes says the whole purpose of man is to fear God and keep his commandment. He's not number one, I say. He is our very existence. We don't set him up and some order. So the married man or woman must please God, strive to please God in the same way that the unmarried or single must strive to please God as the center of their lives and everything. So what it means then that the unmarried man seeks to please God, strive to please God, and the married man concerned with the things of this world, how they might please their mate. What it means is that the single person does not have to seek approval to make a decision to take on a ministry. That's all it means. The single person don't have to go home. If you ask a single person, could you take on such a thing, a task in the church, you don't have to go home and say, well, listen, let me go check with my husband. Or if a husband is going to, you discuss something in a meeting and ask, Brother Brown, would you be willing to do this? He said, well, you know, the right thing for him to say is, let me go talk with my wife first. He should never say yes. Until he clears it with his wife. That's what the text says, isn't it? If you're married, your first concern is about the affairs of this world, how you may please your wife. It doesn't mean you please God less, but you please God by pleasing your mate first. Is that the point I'm making? Good. I'm aware that in speaking to singles or unmarried, I am not just talking to young adults. We have in the very text, in the very chapter before us, in verse 8 of chapter 7, Paul speaks to the unmarried and the widows. In verse 11 of this very chapter, he talks about the talks to the separated or the divorced. In verse 25, he talks to the virgins. So you see, you are all in the first church with the same concerns that you have today. Same variation of singles or singleness exists in our society and our world and in our church. There is the person who has never been married. There is the widow and the divorce. 45% of our American society is made up of single head of household. And sometimes the same reflection in the church. Sometimes the amount of unmarried in the church is 45. I've seen where it is more than 65. One out of two children born to the unwed. But here it is. Each state of singleness provides unique ministries in which to please the Lord. Remember now, we're talking about the single is concerned about pleasing the Lord. So each state, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, or never been married, or separated, there is a ministry for you, unique to you. A single person could be caring for children or family members or parents, even though you don't have a mate to answer to. So whereas you might be ministering, or and by the way, raising children is a ministry, more important than working in the church. Shouldn't we say these things? Might upset somebody in the church. Ministering to your mate is more important. Some years ago, we were sitting in a prayer meeting, on a Wednesday evening, and a lovely lady of the Lord, wonderful lady of the Lord, she sat there and she gave a testimony. She says, my husband came home late from work, just before I left, and I said to him, your dinner is on the stove, and I left because nobody's going to stop me from prayer meeting. And after the meeting, I called her aside, and I said, sis, you were wrong. You were wrong. When your husband came home late, you should put his dinner on the table, sit with him, and say, honey, I would really love to have been at prayer meeting tonight, but you came home so late and it's just difficult to just walk away from you. If he's any man at all, I guarantee you, he would tell you to go on. But the idea of thinking that no man or no woman is going to stop you from serving your Lord is misguided. For a married man or woman must strive to please their mate first, if they would please God. But you see, the advantage is that if you're single or unmarried, you don't have to ask permission. That is the point that is being made in the text. That's the point. And the most important, you see, the most important ministry is the ministry to home. So if you are raising children, you're a single mother, and you're raising your children, to ignore their care to sing in the choir is wrong. You dishonor God. You must make sure they are safe first. And then sing in the choir. Then come to rehearsal. Stopping a whole lot of people from going to choir rehearsal. Eh? There are many. Not only that, but there are many married husbands. There are many husbands who are married who ignore their wives' needs and their children's needs because they are on the board of the church. In my years of therapy, I've met, never forget, a woman who, young woman who was married, she was in her 20s, late 20s, married, and she was so angry with the church because her dad was never there, because he was head cook and battle watcher in the church. His ministry, though wonderful in the church, was flawed at home. You wonder why Pastor Chris asked this guy to come here, eh? God has a way of setting things up, brother. If a single person has no children and does not have anyone to care for, he or she is freer to accept assignments and give themselves to the work of the Lord. That's how they are able to please the Lord. Because now they don't have to go home and get approval. The divorced man or woman in the church can have a ministry to the divorce. The single mother in the church can have a ministry to single mothers. The young unattached or unmarried, under 25 or however old you are, you can have a ministry to singles. These are all unique ministries because you're there, you are there, you understand. I talked with my daughter on the phone last night, and I said I'll be at a church talking about singles ministry. She says, "Dad, you're too old for that." Why did they ask a single person? I said to her, "I've been around long enough, so I'm an expert." So hear me, my friend. Singles who have never been married and have no children can have ministries to other singles. Pleasing the Lord, and here's the point, pleasing the Lord in service is giving yourself to a need that benefits others, or to a situation that builds God's church. You get it? Pleasing the Lord, whether you're married or not, but particularly from the singles' perspective, if there is a need, other singles. You know, one of the things that I learned over the years is that the divorce life, particularly for women, is very difficult, and many have said that being divorced in the church is one of the loneliest things. You don't fit any place. Your married friends now are suspicious of you with their husband. And the young people have always viewed you with jaundiced eyes, so you don't fit into the unmarried group yet. So we trust that when you have worked through your anxiety and your issues as a newly divorced, you will remember the next person who is going through it. There is a ministry there. There are so many ministries in the church that we miss because we do not understand the dynamism of people coming together with various issues in their lives. The church can be far more effective in ministry if we stop being so utopian in our thinking. All believers have the same need, so we preach the same sermon. Nonsense. It's like saying I have 5 children and I treat them the same way. And I say, nonsense. Each has individual and particular needs. When my kids were growing up, my daughter was a talker. She would just talk you to death. But this boy over here, sorry, this gentleman over here, this gentleman over here, you would have to give him Novocaine to find out what he was thinking. I learned you have to treat them differently, but you have to understand them first. Did you get my first point? You ready for the second? All right. Number 2. The aim of the single believer's ministry is undivided devotion to the Lord. The aim of the single believer's ministry is undivided devotion to the Lord. Look at verse 35. I'm not saying this for your own, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Now the King James Version has it a little different way, but the point is the same. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Apostle Paul does not want to put unnecessary restraint on the single believer life, so that if he or she desires to get married and there is an opportunity to get married, they won't feel guilty. So go ahead and get married. It's okay. If there is the right situation, if the person with whom you're going to marry, if your so-called significant other compliments you in the Lord. What did I just say? If he or she compliments you in the Lord. Young woman come for pre-marriage counseling. Boyfriend was coming home and was a military guy coming home, and she comes to set up the pre-marriage counseling, and so I said, tell me about your experience, your salvation. She said, oh, I was saved, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, went through it. And I said, oh, tell me about your boyfriend's experience in the Lord. And he said, well, you know, he doesn't belong any place yet, but the people in my church are praying, and they told me that God is going to save him. I said, really? Really? Said, young lady, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place talking to the wrong person. Because the Bible tells me clearly, do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. Are you telling me now that God is changing his mind? You're still there, aren't you? You see, the point the Apostle Paul is making here is that the single believer has unique opportunities to serve the Lord without restraint. The single believer has the advantage of serving the Lord with undivided devotion, or without destruction or obligation to a mate. That's an advantage. That's an advantage. Both singles and married should have the same devotion. You should have that devotion, that commitment to honor God. You should have it, whether or not you're single or married. But in many ways, the married person's devotion to God is based upon his or her devotion to his or her mate first. The married person's devotion is divided in that she needs the permission. Let me say it again. The married person's devotion is divided in that he or she needs the permission of his or her mate. You don't like to think of it that way. Oh, that's old time stuff. We are in modern day now. We do our own thing. Really? Really? So why are you married if you like to do your own thing? The single believer's devotion can be single focus or single minded in that he or she does not need that same permission. In her singleness, her loyalty is directly towards God. You see, friends, this idea is not disparaging to either the single or the married. We simply need to understand the point that the apostle here is making. And the point he's making is that when you are married, your mate is secret. You get that one? When you're married, your mate is sacred. And for that reason, the reverence and respect must be there. You must seek each other openly in order to act. Well, listen. I know of Christian men who said, I am the head of my house. I make the decision. I tell my wife what to do. Yeah, I have seen a wife left her pastor, husband, and children because he treated her like one of the children. You ought to treat each other with reverence and respect. That is the point. When you're married, now you have somebody, there is somebody in your life whom you believe God has put there, whom you must now treat with utter respect if God is to be pleased. If God is to be honored. So for the single, the potential is this. Here's the potential. If the striving for singleness of mind, singleness of heart, oneness of purpose, serving God without distraction. But the problem you see for many singles is that many of you sitting here probably are unhappy with your singleness. You are unhappy with your singleness, and you are distracted by your neediness. You want a partner so bad that you can hardly think. You have to get married, otherwise you're going to die. And so you cannot give the focus, the oneness, the undividedness, you can't give that to God because something else obsesses you day and night. For those who are able to bring their needs in subjection and to submit themselves to the will of the Lord, they are able to achieve undivided devotion. I've seen it over the years. I've seen it. Young people love the Lord and give themselves because they have not found anyone who can complement them in the Lord. So they devoted themselves. One person in Scripture is Anna. Anna in Scripture. In Luke 2:36-38. Anna was married for 7 years. You know, in those days, biblical days, girls were married in their teens. So, Anna was married for 7 years. Her husband died. So, she was well under 25 when her husband died. But she dedicated herself to the Lord's work for about 60 years. She gave herself undivided to the Lord. She submitted herself to the Lord. She was in the temple day and night, praying and fasting before the Lord. She gave herself undividedly to the Lord. No, I'm not sending you to a convent. I'm saying that right where you live, right where you live, you can strive to serve the Lord undividedly. You don't have to be bitter. Anna was not bitter. Anna could be bitter. You see, in those days, you reach 25 years of age, your husband died, the possibility of getting married again is nil. But she surrendered herself to the Lord. She was not bitter. She was not discouraged. She was not worried or hurried, fretful. Serve the Lord faithfully for about 60 years. I want to give you one word of encouragement here. If it is your lot to be single, if it is your lot to be single, that is, if you come to accept the fact that the will of the Lord be done, if he brings me a wife or a husband, I will be married. But if he does not, I will accept the gift of singleness and live my life for him to his glory and honor. If that is you, I want to say this word to you. Hebrews 6:10-12. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Your reward is sure if you are committed to surrender yourself fully and completely to the Lordship of Christ. Thirdly, the goal of the single believer's ministry is holiness in body and spirit. Look with me at verse 34. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. The King James reads, the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy. I like that one. The NIV, a little bit obscure. The King James Version said that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. The idea of being devoted in body and spirit is the same as holy, both in body and spirit, which means this, listen carefully, which means this, purposefully setting yourself apart for the glory of God. Did you get that? Devoted in body and spirit, holy in body and spirit, means, listen in, purposefully setting yourself apart for the glory of God. That's tough, isn't it? Don't assume that the guy out there preaching don't understand the reality of life. Believe me, I do. But I realize that when we do not, when we allow the world to influence our thinking, we create more problems for ourselves. What the world tells you is the right thing, is the wrong thing. What the Bible says is the right thing, is the right thing. Now, what is the apostle saying
idea of setting apart yourself, body and spirit, for holiness. What he is really saying is this, listen. One, he's saying you must be separated from worldly influence and be separated unto spiritual service. By the way, that's the meaning of holiness. The meaning of holiness is separation from and separation unto. In the Old Testament, when it says that the tithe is holy unto the Lord, when the farmer went out and harvested 10 baskets of produce, none of them is more holy than the other. There is 10 baskets of fruit he just harvested. When he took one of those baskets and set it apart from the rest, he enters into the first step of holiness, separation from. When he takes it to the priest and presented it to the priest in order to be used for the service of God, the process of holiness was complete. Now the basket is holy unto the Lord. So then, the text is saying to you, my friend, you who are single and married, and he's saying the same thing to the married as well. He's saying the same thing to all of us, and that is, in order to present ourselves in body and spirit for true spiritual ministry and service, we must first be separated from the influences of the world. And then we must be separated unto the service of the Lord. Simply put, it is to be set apart. It is to be set apart. The unmarried or single believer is being encouraged to separate himself or herself from anything that would defile his or her service. Are you still with me? Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
You may not like it, but that's your issue. Say amen anyway. You must separate yourself from anything and everything that will defile your life so that your service becomes tainted with sin. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Not just talking to married people, it's talking to single and unmarried people, divorced people. Now that you are saved, you are light in the Lord. Have nothing to do then, have nothing to do then with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to mention even what the unbeliever does in secret. But anything that is exposed to light becomes visible, for it is light that makes things visible. So here, dear my friend, are you light in the Lord as an unbeliever, as an unmarried person, as a single person? Then that light must shine forth as you run away from everything that taints your life. When Anna gave herself full time to the service of the Lord in the temple, she made herself holy. She separated herself. Simply put, she gave herself completely to the Lord.
I knew a young woman who really desired marriage. She wanted to be married, but she could not find that young man, or as she grows into her 30s, that man that in her early 40s, that adult man who would compliment her in the Lord. So she remained single. She taught Sunday school, gave herself fully to it, was an excellent Sunday school teacher. During the week, she made it her business to contact her Sunday school students, see whether or not they were doing their assignment. Those who weren't at Sunday school, she would reach out to them. Observe, my friend, how she gave herself to the work of the ministry, her ministry. She became the church's treasurer. She gave herself hours and hours of balancing and straightening out the books of the church, financial record. She was a member of the Women's Fellowship. She was the first one to get involved in the evangelistic and outreach ministry. She was able to give herself because she didn't have to ask permission. She made herself holy unto the Lord. She gave herself. She didn't bemoan. She didn't bemoan her fate, F-A-T-E. She didn't sit around and be sad. She didn't fret herself that she didn't have a husband. She was so undivided in her attention, and she had so set herself apart that she was able to deal with the issues of singleness, loneliness, the need for companionship, the desire for intimacy. She was able to bring those into subjection so that she was able to live holy. Am I talking to anybody on here today?
Yes.
You are struggling, my friend. Single, unmarried, divorced, widowed, whatever it might be. You may be struggling. But I want you to know that if you strive for a life of holiness, you separate yourself. Here's one of the problems. We watch too much TV. You being single, you watch too much TV, and you are made to feel that you are missing out. You see, a lot of the shows on television, what they do is that they evoke deep emotional feelings. They stir up your desire, and they make you feel that you are missing out on something. The result is you can't live holy. You can't set yourself apart. You hang around with friends who make you feel that, you know, it's all right to sleep with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You hang around with unsaved people who tell you, well, you know, don't take the church too seriously. The result is that many of you who are single are so unhappy, are so confused, so distracted that you can hardly serve God. Because it's as though the world is passing you by. I come to tell you this morning that you can please God. If you are single or unmarried, divorced, never been married, divorced, widowed, separated, I have come to tell you today that you can please God with your life. You can strive for
for undivided devotion, where the focus, the oneness and the singleness is the glory and the honor of God. And you can aspire for holiness, where you set yourself apart, where you refuse to watch certain TV programs because they will stir up feelings in you that is not God glorified. Hear me, my friends. The very thing that Paul says that he doesn't want to happen, verse 32, what did he say in verse 32? He says, I would like you to be free from concern. The very thing that God doesn't want for us is the very thing we have created for ourselves. Misery, unhappiness, fretfulness. Because we have allowed the world to tell us how we should feel, what we should be doing, and how we should be enjoying life. But I want you to know today, if you would please God, you must strive for undivided devotion to Him. And you must set yourself apart from the world so that your ministry, whatever that ministry is, might be to the glory and the honor of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me, every head bow and every eye closed. Our Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Is it possible today that there are those single, unmarried, divorced, separated right here who are struggling, Lord, who need to be encouraged today? Who need a word of encouragement that you have designed this hour, this moment, for this specific purpose, so that you would speak to their hearts and encourage them today. We pray even now that the Spirit of Holiness will begin its work in their hearts and in their lives. I wonder, my friend, how many of you this morning seated here say, would you pray for me? I know the struggle. I understand what you're saying. I see myself. I'm going through a lot. I may be married, but I'm going through a lot. I'm single and I'm struggling. Divorce, still struggling with the divorce. Separated, don't know where I'm going. How many of you would raise your hand above your head and say, pray for me, preacher? God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. Are there those others here today who would say, pray for me? Pray for me. Our Father and our God, we pray for those who have raised their hands asking for prayer. You know their hearts. We don't have to tell you anything. You know what is going on in their lives. You know their personal lives, their individual lives. You search their hearts. You know the very thoughts of their hearts. You see the struggles that they are experiencing. We pray now that you would minister through the power of your Holy Spirit to these individuals' hearts. Whatever they need now, we pray that you would draw near to them and speak to them and help them to know what it is that you expect of them, what you want of them.
what you desire for them, so that they may be able to enter into your peace. Bless now, Lord, we pray, your word to our hearts. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our marvelous, wonderful Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen.